problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Wow. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. So you just heard 1 hour commercial free. Joe Biden live from the White House. He is still going. There's just one very weird moment that we'll share with you. It's been fairly uneventful since we decided to step aside a few minutes ago. I've got a lot to say about it. So do you. I've been watching all of your text messages coming in. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Breaking news.
At this point in similar presidencies, Barack Obama had had 19 press conferences, Donald Trump 21. Joe Biden today was only his ninth press conference, fewer than half of the next lowest communicative president. And it has been a really bizarre spectacle. You've been listening to it, but I dropped in a couple of times to share with you the visuals that you don't have access to when you're listening on the radio, because it was something I simply have never seen before. He came out fairly strong. He came out, made a statement. It was filled with lies. He started off right off the bat saying that the average American has gotten a raise in the last year, which is 100% not true. He said the bottom 40% has gotten a raise. No matter what tiny increase there's been in income, he has presided over the highest inflation rate since 1982, when MASH was the number one show on television. And so you have to factor that in, because the average American is losing tremendous ground financially. And that is in stark contrast to his predecessor. The last 4 years before Joe Biden, the average American saw their family median income go up more than $5,000 with incredibly low inflation. Now you've had a tiny increase with record inflation, record for the last 40 years, or 38 years, 39 years, to be precise. And so it started off with that, but it was all from a teleprompter. But then the visuals that I'm talking about that were so strange and that I have never seen before in a presidential press conference, when he went to the press corps to ask questions, as they were asking the questions, Joe Biden was flipping through a notebook that he had on the podium. And depending on which answer it was, he spent a fair amount of time in the answers reading from this notebook. I've just never seen that before. As president of the United States, you presumably have been living every single one of these issues for every second of the last year. And you should be able to speak extemporaneously on whatever question a reporter throws at you. It also does raise the specter. Since they were in a notebook, were all of these questioners prearranged? I mean, he had a very specific prescribed order of questioners that he went through or is still going through. And were those questions submitted to the White House in advance so that answers could be prepared for Joe Biden? I think that they're freelancing a little bit more because, you know, I've still got a live feed and he's not flipping through the notebook now like he did for the first 10, 15 or so questioners. Oh, nope, I'm sorry. I checked that. He was looking at a questioner, but now he's flipping through his notebook again for one that's happening live right now. Just have never seen that before, but I believe that is absolutely necessary for Joe Biden. So some of the other things that he talked about, for a guy who said that he wanted to be a unifier, I mean, that was one of the big things that he ran on, that he wants to finally bring this country together. He spent a lot of time talking about Mitch McConnell, about the Republican Party, and the Republican Party he referred to as the other team. For a unifier who I thought said there's no red state and blue state, there's no white people and black people, we are the United States of America, to now hear him a year into his presidency refer to what is a plurality. More Americans, according to Gallup this week, more Americans by a pretty good margin identify as Republicans than Democrats. First time that's happened in ages. So Joe Biden now believes that more than half of Americans are the other team. And for somebody who said he was going to be a unifier, that is a shocking thing for him to say. The other thing that he talked about on a repeated basis, he kept saying, name one thing the Republicans are for. Name one thing Mitch McConnell is for. Well, I don't identify as a Republican. I am an independent person. But I can answer the question. They would have been for an orderly pullout of Afghanistan. They would have been for leaving the military there before you got out all the civilians. They would have been for having some measure of force so that we wouldn't have 13 of our bravest blown up by a suicide bomber in Afghanistan. Republicans are for an ordered southern border and against 2 million illegal aliens coming across into America in the last year. And when you say that COVID is such a priority, but almost all of those 2 million illegal aliens are unvaccinated when they come into the country. If the vaccination is so important, and if COVID is so critical, why would you allow 2 million unvaccinated illegal aliens into this country? It makes absolutely no sense. I would suggest that that's something that Republicans are for, to actually have borders in this country. Republicans are for energy independence. When your first act is to stop all construction on the Keystone Pipeline, when more than half the oil rigs that were operating off the Gulf Coast are now shut down, and when the United States of America is now reliant on the whims of foreign powers, many of them our enemies, begging for gas, when we had total energy independence under your predecessor, I would suggest that energy independence are one of the things that Republicans are for. They are for not dumping, although both parties are guilty of this, but Joe Biden, in the most reckless way possible, dumped trillions of dollars into the economy. He kept saying that the inflation is because of gas prices. Well, that's certainly a part of it. And you caused the gas prices, Mr. President. But he also said it's a supply issue. Well, he's talking about the supply chain driving up prices. He's right, it's a supply issue, but not in the way that he meant. It's supply and demand. And when you dump trillions of dollars into this economy in the last year, when you are sending out thousands of dollars to people who are still employed during the pandemic, making over $100,000 a year, and they are then going out and spending that money, that drives inflation up by an incredible margin. He talked a fair amount about something that Donald Trump was mercilessly ripped for. Joe Biden, they just straight out asked him, do you accept that the upcoming midterm elections will be legitimate? And he said that Republicans are trying to alter the outcome of the election. The rules would be the same as 2020 when Joe Biden was elected. The Democrats want federal control of state election rules, which is unconstitutional. It would be an unprecedented federal takeover of state sovereignty of elections. And that's what he's pushing for with these bills. And now he says that he will not honor the integrity of elections because he believes that Republicans are trying to alter the outcome. If Donald Trump said those words, it would have been 24/7 for the next 3 months. He will not accept the outcome, because with Joe Biden, he knows that a tsunami is coming down on him. He talked about how hard that it is for minorities to vote. Well, how did we get record turnout during a pandemic? How did you, Mr. President, get a record 81 million votes? Are you telling us that wasn't legitimate? Because the rules are the same for 22 and 24 right now as they were in 2020. And if you're saying that 22 and 24 are going to be rigged, then are you conceding that 20 was rigged under the same rules? I mean, it was all just incredibly bizarre. And when a reporter asked, why will Russian sanctions work when they haven't worked before and Putin just seems to be ignoring them? The stark visual on that was Joe Biden furiously flipping through his note cards looking for a pre-scripted answer on this. And while he came out with a strong tone of voice, it got noticeably and markedly weaker as the hour went on. And I want to get to your comments, because that's why I was soliciting them, because I told you I wanted to share your comments. And for the people who support the president, disagree with me, there are an awful lot of people who said, Dory, you keep saying the president has early stage dementia. Even someone with dementia couldn't read notes this well. You are wrong about that. And I had a few people who said the same thing, that this does not sound like a man who's cognitively impaired. That was from the 206. I had a lot more, probably by a 5-to-1 margin, who thought that he did sound like somebody who was having just real trouble, especially once he got away from the teleprompter part of the speech. A lot of people noted what I was just talking about, that Joe Biden from the 425, it sounds like Biden is preparing for calling election fraud himself if his bill does not pass in anticipation of his loss. OMG. From the 425, my dear Lord, this guy is dead weight. Cut him loose and let's move on. There's not one person who believes him, nor is there any leader that even bats an eye or worries about this guy. Putin is listening to this with a drink and laughing his bleep off. And on it goes. Let me see if I have a few more. I cut and pasted. Thank you, Dory, for telling us that Joe is flipping through a notebook, but I'm just wondering where he got the notebook from. Well, that's where I say that I believe many of these questions were lined up in advance, and they were probably pre-scripted by his handlers, and they were able to write notes for him. From the 206, this person disagreed with my characterization of that. LOL. Stop writing LOL. You're not laughing out loud when you type this. LOL. How dare the president use notes and come prepared to answer questions correctly and not make a mistake instead of going off the cuff and just saying what he thinks? You are an idiot, Dory. Yeah, you can think what you want about me. If I'm an idiot, what are you for listening to my show? That's an idiot. Squared. Cubed. But I don't call names anymore. But I've just never seen that before. In a presidential press conference, a notebook with prepared answers for what are supposed to be unscripted questions. I have never seen that. And as I said, particularly, I think he's gotten away from the scripted questions now, because he doesn't seem to be flipping through or staring down at his podium as much as he was in the second half hour between 1:30 and 2 o'clock. From the 425, I agree with this. Listener simply said, we're in trouble. And then finally, from the 206, Story, listening to the president, many things come to mind. This is a feeble, weak, elderly man who's a known liar. And yes, he's been a plagiarizer his whole life. We know that. Prior to becoming cognitively impaired. Second, his family should be ashamed that they have allowed him to be put on the world stage. A loving family would never do this. And last, anytime Democrats accuse someone of illegal activities, you can bet they are already doing it. Biden is a sad, weak person, a puppet, I'm afraid, for my country. So those some of the hundreds and hundreds of messages that I've been getting. I'm still going through all of them. 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476 is the number to text in on. All right. Also in our big lead this hour.
The big lead, Bizarro World.
Hey, there was a student walkout yesterday at Kamiak High School. They said that they want better COVID protection and better masking. And as Nicole pointed out a couple of days ago, early in the school year, kids were walking out of class demanding no masks. We're sick of the masks. The media didn't cover that. But now that the students are thinking right, we've gotten their minds right. We put them in the hole until they started thinking the way we told them to think. Now they are demanding masking, and it suddenly gets coverage. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they talked to one of the students about the student demands.
We've noticed the amount of students missing and the amount of teachers missing.
They want stricter mask enforcement, more COVID testing at school, and better aid for students who are homesick with the virus so they don't fall behind.
Okay, masks. Help for the students. Anything else, kids?
We would really be hoping for teachers to be moving lots of their information to, like, their Schoology class pages, Zooms to be happening so students at home could at least see what's going on in class.
Plus, they want to bring back a policy from last year, giving them Wednesdays off so students and staff can catch up on their work from home.
Oh! Yes! So the kids want every Wednesday off. Hey, I do too. Maybe I should do a walkout. That'd be sweet. Monday, Tuesday, then I'll catch up on my work. They'll go back to the show on Thursday and Friday. Hey, kids, that's not how the world works. But that's what this is really all about. They want Wednesdays off. They want the school week reduced by 20%. Under the guise of safety, so they can catch up on work at home. Wait a second. You've got plenty of hours every day of the week to catch up on work from home. You're only at school for 8 hours or whatever it is. They want Wednesdays off, the kids at Kamiak High School. Huh. Anything else?
If we really want to have proms, dances, games, anytime soon, action needs to be taken now. And that's what we're trying to get at.
No, we have games. Basketball's going, football finished, wrestling's gone. It's so misguided. But again, this is not a organic movement that is driven by the teachers' unions who also want Wednesdays off, along with Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. And that is your big lead this hour. That is
the big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, I have an update from Seattle Police that we got during Joe Biden's press conference on the criminal history of the guy who went on an absolutely crazy crime spree a couple of days ago, throwing two women into Lake Washington, among many other felony crimes. I have an update to that story next here in the Dory Monson Show. Well, there was a crazy crime spree in Seattle a couple of days ago by one man. I have an update to a story that I told you about in our big lead at noon today. It started at 11:30 on Monday morning. Three women were taking pictures near the Montlake Cut overlooking Lake Washington. They're on the lakeside walking trail there. And that's when a man who was walking by tried to grab one of the women's phones from her hand. And she held onto her phone. She started struggling with the guy. One of her friends tried to protect her, and the man threw the woman into Lake Washington. Then he ran up the trail. And a couple minutes later, another woman was walking with her 18-month-old baby on the same trail. And the man grabbed the hood of the jacket of the 18-month-old, lifted her up, threw her to the side of the trail. The little baby started to scream and cry and was scared to death. The woman tried to go to her daughter, the mom did. The man grabbed that woman by the front of her jacket and pushed her into Lake Washington. Then the guy went across the Montlake Bridge towards the UW. And Seattle Police contacted UW Police. And then it turns out about an hour later, they start getting reports of somebody attacking people up in Lake City. So unlikely he walked up the Burke Gilman to Lake City, probably jumped on a bus. Hope he had a mask on. Probably jumped on a bus, guessing he didn't pay the fare either. But all of a sudden, the same guy is up in Lake City. A woman was just out for an afternoon jog on an otherwise uneventful Monday. And that's when this guy used his leg to sweep her legs out from under her. She falls forward onto the pavement, goes crashing down. A man driving by sees this, and he runs up and tries to help the woman, and the attacker punched the man several times in the face and head. So 2 hours ago, what I just related to you was all that I knew about the guy. But I was talking to Sergeant Randy Usarek of the Seattle Police Department, and I asked him if he could get us some background information, see if the guy had a criminal history. And thank you to Sergeant Usarek. Not only does he have a criminal history, but it's about as long as you can imagine. Multiple priors in Seattle, all of them some type of assaults. In 2018, assault. 2019, 2020, random attacks on strangers. Back in 2019, this guy was just known to transit police as the skateboarder because he would go into the new Sound Transit stations and skateboard where that is not allowed, where, you know, you're not supposed to do that. So one of the Sound Transit police goes up to the guy and says, "You can't skateboard here." He sucker punches the transit cop in the face. And then another transit cop in a separate incident gets sucker punched. This other cop got blindsided by the guy, knocked to the ground. There's video of both of those attacks on police officers. So does somebody want to explain to me how somebody who assaults random strangers year after year after year after year was walking around this week throwing women into Lake Washington, throwing babies to the side of walking trails, sweeping legs out from under a jogger? It's because we have the left in control. I talked about this at length yesterday. I had no idea that I was going to get more supporting evidence today. We have gotten so soft on crime that you can punch cops in the face and be walking around before you know it. And he must not have done any. That was 2019, those two Sound Transit assaults on police officers. Well, according to the Seattle police, he has more assault charges, priors in 2020. For random attacks on strangers. So he obviously didn't get any time or no meaningful time for punching police officers and for throwing women in Lake Washington, throwing a baby to the side of the trail. What's going to happen? Oh, now are they going to finally get tough? Are they going to say, well, this is aberrant behavior and we're going to lock him up? He never should have been free in the first place. But when you have politicians and prosecutors and a state legislature and Dow Constantine and Jay Inslee, and they are all absolutely determined to inflict as much criminal terror as is humanly possible on this entire region, that's what is happening. Now, we have some breaking news for you. As I'm talking about this, you heard a little bit of it in the newscast at the bottom of the hour, but there is a shooting right now in downtown Seattle. Officers investigating this shooting at 3rd and Pike, just a block or two from the Pike Place Market. One person is injured. There was a woman shot in downtown Seattle last night. There was not one, not two, but three armed carjackings in Seattle last night on a Tuesday night. One was by the Seattle Center. One was downtown near Belltown. One was in West Seattle. All of them were people with guns stealing other hardworking, honest, innocent people's vehicles. You have madmen throwing women into Lake Washington. And all of this is because, like we're seeing in New York, I talked about this yesterday, where a 40-year-old woman was shoved in front of a subway train and died instantly. In Los Angeles, where a 24-year-old woman was stabbed to death in the retail store where she worked. And some of the details of that one. And this guy walked in, had on a backpack. She was working in a high-end luxury furniture store, the 24-year-old. And she texted a friend right before she got murdered. And she said, "There's somebody in the store that's making me feel really uncomfortable." The friend didn't get the message until after her friend was dead. The guy who they believe, the person of interest in the murder of that 24-year-old, has a rap sheet across the country as long as your arm. And then here in Seattle, 3 armed carjackings last night. A guy with multiple prior assaults, year after year after year, including 2 violent assaults on police officers, was walking around free, throwing women, moms into Lake Washington, babies through the air to the side of a trail. You gonna keep voting for Democrats in our state legislature, county council, city council, governor, mayor? Is this truly what the people want? Because the commonality between New York City and Los Angeles and Seattle, Portland had record number of murders last year. Seattle and King County, record number of gun murders. What's the commonality? We're all run by far left Democrats. And it is their mission to be as soft on crime. Dow Constein, 3 carjackings last night. Somebody shot in downtown Seattle just moments ago. A woman was shot in downtown Seattle last night. What are you doing about all of this?
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Dow's on it. Let me take a quick time out here. I have a story very near and dear to my heart. I'm going to go in depth on this tomorrow. But a high school girls basketball coach, this time at Issaquah High School, was relieved of his duties right in the middle of the season. And he's a good man. He doesn't want to come right out and say it. But it sounds to me it's because he didn't think the way the school district mandated. Has that ever happened to a girls basketball coach in this area before? I'm sure I can come up with at least one other person that has happened to. Let me think about it. Play some audio, part of our awesome audio, coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Man, I got a lot to get to here. Let's jump right into our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Well, we told you we'd keep rolling on the Joe Biden press conference. We brought you an hour of it commercial free, and unbelievably, he's still going, but he's struggling a bit as it gets on and on. In fact, when they asked him an hour ago how much longer he'd go, he kept looking at his watch, said this.
Mr. President,
hey, folks. Okay, whoa. Hang on, guys. We've only gone an hour and 20 minutes. I'll keep going. But I'm going to go. Let me get something straight here. How long are you guys ready to go? You want to go for another hour or two? Okay. I'm going to go. I tell you what, folks. I'm going to go another 20 minutes till a quarter of. Okay,
but he's still going at 10 of. But his handlers were trying to end it. So now he's freelancing, so things are getting weird now. One reporter asked him, why do most Americans think he's not fit to be president?
Registered voters disagreeing with the statement, Joe Biden is mentally fit. Well, not even a majority of Democrats who responded strongly affirmed that statement.
Well, I'll let you all make the judgment whether they're correct.
Well, thank you. The question I have for you, sir, if you'd let me finish, is why do you suppose such large segments of the American electorate have come to harbor such profound concerns about your cognitive fitness? Thank you.
I have no idea. Yes, sir.
Then he goes, next question. Well, he has no idea why most Americans think he's cognitively unfit to be president. Will Kamala be his running mate in 2024?
And I'm a big labor guy. I'm sure there's people in labor saying, why haven't they been able to do A, B, C, or D? So it's just going to take a little bit of time.
You put Vice President Harris in charge of voting rights. Are you satisfied with her work on this issue? And can you guarantee, do you commit that she will be your running mate in 2024, provided that you run again?
Yes and yes.
Okay. Don't care to expand?
Pardon me?
Do you care to expand on voting?
No, there's no need to. I mean, I asked the question. She's going to be my running mate, number one. And number two, I did put her in charge. I think she's doing a good job.
Man, he did not want to talk about Kamala Harris. I don't blame him. She's one of the only politicians in history to have lower approval ratings than him. But he did not want to talk about Kamala Harris. Very, very revealing right there.
I wonder if you still think it's possible to do both of those things.
We have to.
Well, he was asked about unifying America.
We have to. I mean, I'm not, as long as I hold public office, I'm going to continue to attempt to do both things.
One more follow-up. Around this time last year when you were campaigning in Georgia, I think one of the things you told people was the power is literally in your hands. You know, if voters give Democrats the House and the Senate and the presidency, that all these big things can get accomplished. And, you know, we've seen stalemate. We've seen things being stymied. Why should folks believe you this time around?
Can you think of any other president that's done as much in 1 year?
Yeah, I can. I can think of, what is he? What number is he? I can think of 45 presidents who have done more in the first year. Oh, man. Bringing it closer to home, in Issaquah, something very strange is going on. I heard from some families last night of girls who play on the varsity basketball team at Issaquah High School. They love their coach. Doug Crandall's his name. Doug Crandall got him off to a 3-0 start this season. This is his third year coaching the Issaquah girls. And at a time when coaches often have problems with parents and families, this guy, the girls, the parents love him. But three games into the season, the Issaquah school board dumped him. And they're not telling him why. And they're not telling the families why. And I talked to him this morning. He's going to come on the show with me tomorrow. But all you need to know about this guy is how much the kids who play on his team adore him. In fact, they all wore their uniforms and went to a school board meeting. This is player Courtney.
In early December, the Issaquah School District suspended our coach midseason, giving our coach, fellow coaching staff, and athletes no explanation. The district provided no other information other than telling us that he is no longer our coach. Along with the school district's lack of important communication, the district did not give us the athletes resources to find a new coach. While we do now have a great coach, who is Kathy Gibson, and we're lucky to have her, it would be untruthful to say that the loss of our coach didn't impact the way we played and didn't impact our mental health. I'm assuming that the school district's suspension of Coach Crandall is what the district thinks is best for the athletes.
No, it's not. And this is something I know more than a little about. My guess is this coach spoke up against COVID policies several months ago, and his mind wasn't right. And if you don't walk in lockstep with the radicals that have taken over our school districts, and believe me, I know this for a fact, they will do everything to hurt you and to hurt the kids. Their ideology is far more important than the children. Don't ever forget that. Okay, John Curley and Sherry Elliker are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. See you back here tomorrow. I do.
Very good. That's excellent.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.